Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bringing you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National Racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
Corey Texter here, co-hosting alongside Scotty Dubler, your two favorite guys when it comes to Flat Track Radio. What's going on? Tuesday night, here we are. Scotty, how are you?
Dude, I'm doing great. I was a little worried about you, but I'm glad you could join us, and you're looking spiffy as always, so it's good to see you. And, man, I'm just ready for the show. We got a good one lined up for us.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm really excited about the show tonight, having a winner from this past weekend on the show. That's always a good thing. Tristan Avery will be joining us in our later segment to talk about his first GNC2 win, and it came aboard a twin. I think it's a Kawasaki twin he was on, so we'll talk to him and get his thoughts on his first win. And, you know, he had a pretty emotional podium speech, so we'll get his thoughts on that. And then we'll have Leah Burdett on here shortly. She is from Family Events. She's a marketing coordinator who Family Events is the group. They promote the Coin Mile and the Indianapolis Indy Mile. So they've been really busy, as you can imagine, over the past couple weeks here from promoting the Coin and then promoting getting ready for the Indy Mile. So we'll have her on and get her thoughts on both events, talk about the Coin, talk about the upcoming Indy Mile, and what it takes to run one of these shows. You know, they have a top-notch show, and it's good to have them helping out and promoting races in our series. So looking forward to having both those guests on.
Yeah, both guests are going to be super interesting to hear from, you know, their opinions of the Coin and, you know, what we have in store for Indy. So let's just jump right into it. I want to talk about the Coin because my phone was going crazy all night while I was announcing it, and then afterwards, and people were saying on Twitter that it was the most exciting mile since 1975 and stuff like that, and it was really good. I don't know if it was, you know, that good, but, you know, there's a lot of people up front. There were six riders up front until Henry Wallace fell off coming off of turn number two. And then it kind of separated the field out a little bit. And watching Jared Meese come from the back, and then when he got up to third place, he kind of drug Brian Smith along with him. And there's a three-way battle for the lead, or for the win, I should say. And it was a good race. I'm not taking anything away from what the people were saying, but, man, you know, anybody could have won it. And, you know, to go across the finish line at 0.000 seconds is pretty amazing in our sport.
Yeah, I was watching my phone during the main event, and unfortunately, and I was sitting there, and when they came across the line, you know, I was sitting in turn four, and you can't see the finish line from there, and I was quick refreshing my phone. I thought Brian had enough juice to get by Jared down the straightaway, and When I brought it up, it was 0.000. I was like, holy smokes, you know, it's a tie. So I'm sure they had some cameras. And I actually think I did see a photo, actually. It was kind of blurry, but it clearly did look like Brian won, which is kind of crazy. It was that clear, you know, 0.000 on the transponder. So, yeah, it was a great race. You know, like you said, Henry Wiles was in the mix. I guess he crashed, and then Brad Baker looked also was in the mix and looked really strong, and he had a mechanical failure. And in the early stages of the race, you had Sean Bear up there too on the KTM, really, really fast KTM. That thing, I think right now it's the fastest bike in the field. You know, that hooks up still. You know, it seems like it runs really good. You know, he pulls alongside people down the straightaway, and he goes right by them, doesn't really have to draft them or anything. And bike looks like it handles good, it hooks up, and I mean, they got a really good program, Sean does. So he was up there for a little bit, he faded towards the end a little bit, and then I think he might have had a mechanical. I know he was back in maybe 9th or 10th when he had a mechanical, but early laps he was right up in there. So Yeah, it was a great race. You know, it was, it's never fun for me to watch the main events, but I guess if I'm going to pick one to watch, it wasn't a bad one to spectate.
Yeah, it was definitely an exciting one to watch, and you know, I had trouble, you know, figuring out why we had so many mechanicals, and then I talked to a lot of people afterwards, and they said they were leaving, you know, the Harleys were leaving them wide open all the way around. I don't know if that was even possible on the Kawasaki like you were riding, or I know the KTM, I think I heard he was shutting off, and I did hear afterwards the reason he didn't ride the Dash for Cash, talking about Sean Bear, is because he thought his clutch was going out, and then I seen a lot of people working on their clutches all day long, so I don't know, you know, if it was just the track or, you know, the conditions or what it was, but, you know, it was rough on a lot of the equipment this week.
Yeah, no, I think the main event, there was maybe like 10 guys that finished, so if you made the main event and you finished, you basically got a top 10, so, yeah, it was, that's usually the way it is with the miles. I mean, you know, 5 out of every 6 miles, you'll have at least 5 guys, half a dozen guys that break, you know, so it's just, it's tough when you're on these mile tracks and you're holding those bikes wide open for 25 laps. It's brutal on the equipment. So you saw that firsthand on Saturday night, and the track was tough. You know, it was really rough and dry, and I didn't really like it, to be honest. In practice and qualifying, I was having a hard time getting comfortable on the track, maybe it was a motorcycle or what have you, but I was definitely struggling. And then as the day progressed, the track got a lot better, and it became really racy. So it was very, you know, it created good battles. I talked to Brian Smith today, and he said it was basically a half mile racing on a mile. You know, he said miles, usually it's a chess game. You kind of wait, feel each other out. You wait to the last 5 laps to make your move. But he said the way everyone was racing in the beginning of the race, you know, it resembled a half mile. You know, you were going for it right from the start. There wasn't a lot of drafting, which I can agree. You know, I didn't see much drafting down the straightaways at all. And the corners, you were running 2-3 wide. So it was a very unique track, and it was cool. It was something different, and it was a lot of fun to ride on.
Yeah, hopefully we get to go back next year. Well, maybe we can ask Leah if she's heard any more about that when she comes up on her first segment. Did have some sad news earlier today. Tommy Duma, his father-in-law, did pass away earlier this afternoon, so our thoughts and prayers are with Tommy Duma and his entire family. He's been fighting an illness for a while now, and Tommy's been there with his wife, and that's why he hasn't been a lot of the races recently. So our thoughts are with Tommy Duma and the entire Duma family, including his in-laws. So, you know, it's never easy to go through, but he's in a better place now. Also coming up this weekend, besides Saturday, the Indy Mile, but Friday night they're running at Mid America. The short track's going on Friday night. Corey, you gonna go check that out, or are you just gonna save everything for Saturday?
I'm not even sure what my plans are, Scotty, for this weekend in general. I'm waiting to hear back from Alan at Racing Unlimited to see if he's gonna be able to make the trip to Indy. He had a family event that he thought he was gonna have to do. So at this point, I'm almost positive I'm not even going to be racing on Saturday, which is kind of a bummer. Indy's one of my favorite tracks. It's where I made my first national, and last year there I finished 11th, and I think I should do a little bit better than that. I really like Indy, and it's just been a tough year for me just trying to solidify a consistent program, be on a consistent bike, and just go racing every weekend. So I'm working on that right now. But for me, no, I'm pretty sure, almost 100% sure I'm not going to do the Mid-America race. I'd like to. That track's really fun. I rode there when we did the Harley-Davidson promo 2 years ago for the X Games, and it was a really fun track, and I think I could do well on it. But at this point, if I'm not doing any mile, you know, I might hang around here and find a race around here to do. And there's a Spartan race, too, actually, I saw on Sunday back here near my hometown I might try and make, but... Yeah, it's a depressing subject, man. I want to be out there, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Well, that's not fun. Maybe you should just come up here and take my spot in the AMA Pro Semi, and you and Chris Carr can sit there and hash things out.
I don't know, man. I'm not much of an announcer. You know, I who knows? Maybe in time I'll develop into one. I'm sure you didn't think you'd be an announcer when you were racing either, so... So we'll see. I don't know. I'm still really disappointed from Saturday. That was a tough pill to swallow. That was the first main event I've missed on a twin. Besides Springfield Mile this year on that Yamaha, but that was the first legitimate main event I missed in well over a year. So that was a tough one to swallow. It was a long ride home. We'll say that for sure.
I bet it was. You know, a lot of people had that same problem. I know it was tough. Like you said, the track was very different. It got better as the night went on. I'm not sure if they were worried about chances of rain. They didn't seem like they started really putting moisture down until after the first round of practice, which, you know, maybe there was a more of a higher percentage of rain, you know, earlier in the day, and maybe that's what they waited for. But I thought, you know, when it was main event time, it was nice, and the track was fast. And you know, a couple of people went down, not very many, but Henry Wiles said he had his feet on the pegs in the main event. I talked to him after the main, and he said that thing just came around on him before he knew it. He was on the ground. So that was right in front of everybody. And then I didn't see what happened to Kyle Johnson in practice. It wasn't in our camera view, but they said he went down really hard coming off of turn number four in practice.
Yeah, I had the same exact thing happen to me. I had a bunch of people come up to me and tell me that I had the save of the year. Maybe, you know, they definitely said it was the save of the day. And I came off turn four, and I was just, like, cruising around the bottom on the groove, and the bike just stepped out. The back end just came right around, and I'm a really smooth rider, I would think, you know, I'd like to say. And I never have, like, any oh shit moments. And, man, I picked my foot up to drive off turn four, and the back end just whipped all the way around, and I was actually facing, like, the infield guardrail. And then, like, I straightened it back up. Like, I was seconds away from throwing the bike away, because I for sure thought I was going down. And I was going at least 100 mile an hour, you know. And I cocked the bike to the right, and both feet came off the pegs and almost drove it to the outside wall. And, man, I saved it. I had to check my leathers afterwards. It scared the shit out of me. But I saved it. And then I think it was the same practice session where I came around, and Kyle Johnson was on the track right where it happened. And I saw a photo, and it's the same exact thing that happened to me. He wasn't so fortunate, you know, he didn't save it, but I guess the same thing happened to Henry. It was a weird track, man. It was slick, and I don't want to make excuses, but I think a big reason to why I wasn't riding very well, you know, it was because I had that moment in practice where it just took a lot of confidence from me going down like that. It was just tough. Yeah, the track was really, really technical, a little dry, and you had to come across the groove straight. You know, the guys who have ridden there in the past, Jared, Brian, Coolbeth, Sean Bear, they definitely looked a lot more comfortable than some of the guys who haven't ridden there. So,
yeah, I you could definitely tell the people that had experience there, and they definitely showed. But also another save of the year possible candidate is one of our guests that's going to be on a little bit. I don't know if you saw it going into turn number one. He got sucked in really deep by the draft, and Tristan Avery just about went down. I've seen a few different pictures of it on the internet, so he's definitely up there for the save of the year as well. But and then somehow he regained his composure and went on to win. So man, he rode the wheels off that bike. So and that's pretty crazy. We are still waiting on our first guest to show up here in a little bit. But before we get into our first break, also our thoughts with Kenny Noyes. I know you put a post on Twitter early on after he had his road racing get off, and I didn't hear much about it.
Yeah, I didn't hear much about it either. I saw it on Facebook and Twitter. I reached out to Matthew Miles, a friend of mine over there in Cycle World. He worked for Cycle World for a long time, and now he's with the Moto America Series, and he knows Kenny and Dennis Noyes really well. They're really good friends, and he had a crash in morning warm-up. I don't have the full details of it, but he's slowly making progress from what I've seen. They're taking him off sedation, and it's a medically induced coma, so it was a head injury from what I hear, but they're really optimistic he's going to make a full recovery, which is good. For the flat track fans that don't know Kenny, he was actually a Formula USA dirt track champion, and I think it was 2000, and then he also is two-time podium finisher at the Super Prestigio. This past year, he finished third behind Marquez and Jared Mee, so he's a really good rider, you know. He does really well in the CEV series over in Europe, which is a really, really tough series, very comparable to the British Superbike series, which is, you know, those series over there, those non-MotoGP series are still very, very difficult. The field is very deep, and he wins races. You know, he's a champion of last season. So our thoughts and prayers are with him. That was really tough to see. Looking forward to following his progress as he gets better and hopefully gets back on the motorcycle here shortly.
Yeah, it was a tough break for sure. You know, I think he was leading the points over there too, if I'm not mistaken. He's been on a roll over there. But you know, I used to race against him quite a, you know, for quite a while. But my cousin raced against him more than I did. I think I ended up being in the class above him for a while before he actually went over and started road racing. But let's talk about the points a little bit while we wait for our first guest to come on. Jared Meese now is in the lead with 96 points, 8 points ahead of Sammy Halbert and 10 points ahead of Brian Smith and Kenny Kulbeck. So there's four riders within 10 points in the top four spots. So, you know, it's getting really tight up there, and hopefully it's going to continue to stay tight the rest of the season. But I believe our first guest is on, so I believe we should get our first commercial break out of the way. And when we come back, we will talk to Leah Burdett with Family Events. We'll be right back.
Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. What does flat track and jewelry have in common? Tommy Duma, former GNC National number 26 and 62.
This is Tommy Duma, and I want to personally take care of all of your jewelry needs. My team and I will custom design and handcraft any type of racing jewelry, from custom number plates to steel shoe pendants and any precious metal. You can even send us your favorite photo, and we'll recreate it as a stunning pendant or ring of your choice. Besides custom racing jewelry, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers is home to the nation's top designers like David Yurman and Rolex. We offer the best names in engagement ring designers like Tacori, Verragio, Michael M., Danoff, Simon G., A. Jaffe, and many more. With direct connections to one of the world's largest Israeli diamond cutters, I can guarantee that TDFJ diamonds will have more sparkle. This also means that our diamond prices are as competitive as any brick-and-mortar jewelry store or anything that you can find on the Internet. Helping past and current GNC racers with their jewelry needs since 1982. I look forward to becoming your trusted jeweler as well. Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Check us out at TDFJ.com.
Our next guest, or our first guest, is on the line right now, and happy to bring her on. She's a very busy lady, getting these races ready for us riders to compete in, the Coin Mile, and now coming up this weekend, the Indy Mile. Leah Burdett from Family Events. I guess her job title is the marketing coordinator. Is that correct, Leah?
That's right.
Right on. Well, you've been very busy. The Coin Mile was this past weekend, and let's talk about that first. How did it go,
sure.
And what were your thoughts on the event?
I mean, it was great. It was the first time it's been back in, a decade, so I thought it did pretty well. It's definitely something we would love to build on, and for the first year back, we were pretty happy with it. The racing was phenomenal. I mean, you couldn't have asked for better racing through the heats, the semis, GNC2, and then the finals, obviously. It was just phenomenal day for racing. And I know the fans have been very excited. They've expressed that on our social media and comments all over the Internet. So it was really good. We've learned a lot of things, and hopefully we could come back next year and improve on it and just keep growing this race and making it bigger and better.
Well, Leah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. You know, everybody said that it was the best race since even as far back as 1975. So congratulations on having a successful event. And my next question was going to be, are we going back next year? And if so, can you share any information on that?
We haven't really discussed it. When we got into doing DeCoin, we definitely planned on making this, a more than 1 year thing, so it'll definitely be something to discuss. But we kind of all just got back Monday and went straight into Indy Mile mode, so we haven't, really sat down to discuss it too much. But we would love to keep it going if we can.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's kind of tough to fill the grandstands at the Coin because it's a small town, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and it was July 4th weekend. So for all things considering.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like there was a good crowd. I was sitting there doing fan walk, and I signed a lot of autograph sheets and met a lot of fans, and they were all stoked to be there. A lot of fans, too, it's a little bit too far for them to travel to Springfield, so they, like the St. Louis fans and all that, it was real convenient for them to make it to the Coin. So all things considering, it seemed like it was a good event. It could definitely grow moving forward. What was the response as far as the fans? They seemed really happy. Were the the sponsors involved with the event, your guys' sponsors, were they pleased with everything as well?
I think so. We had a couple Harley-Davidson dealerships on Water Cuddy and Black Diamond, and I haven't heard too much from them. I know that they were excited to be out there, and the vendors we had out there were happy. You know, I really haven't heard really much negatives. Everything was pretty positive, and, you know, we've been hearing them since the race ended. I mean, I'm sure it helped that the race was absolutely amazing and so exciting, but, you know, we really didn't have complaints from the fans. I think the fan walk and everything with that went well, and, you know, those are really big grandstands, especially with the other stands on the sides. And, you know, they were all three, you know, filled up well. If you would have crunched them all together, I'm pretty sure you would have filled that entire middle grandstand pretty much to the max. So,
well, that's a good thing to have, Leah, to have all the extra grandstands. It kind of looks like it was kind of splotchy, but, you know, like you said, if you put them all together, then it would have been a pretty decent crowd. To have more room like that and let people spread out and you know, have room to spread out and, you know, sit where you want to sit. So I thought that was a good problem to have. What goes into the planning between the last race and this race? What all do you guys have to do as the promoter of family events between DeCoin and Indy, or is everything pretty much ready to go?
It's just pretty much race prep, get on, you know, us working with AMA and make sure that they have everything they need, you know, setting up their registration and getting all the on-site kind of operations things set and ready to go. So when they come into town, we're ready to go. Pretty much this week, we're just really pushing all of our ad campaigns right now. We're on a lot of TV and radio here locally in Indy. I'm pushing out some Facebook advertising through AMA Pro, through Cycle World magazine, as well as our Indy Mile site, taking last ticket orders, taking last group orders, running around doing some promotional things. I'm going to be out at Mid-America Friday night at the short track promoting and doing some things there, and I'll have flyers, and they'll be doing some PA reads and stuff for me. And there's a few dealerships that are doing bike rides out, rides from their shops to the dealerships and making sure they have everything they need, and pretty much just the prep that we just got done doing for DeCoin.
That's really exciting. You know, Indy Mile is a really historic race and the track is awesome. So I'm sure you guys are really looking forward to this weekend. Let's talk about Indy. Let's touch upon it a little bit more. Big event. What all goes into promoting the Indy Mile, and, you know, there's quite a bit of things different this year than previous years. Can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're a completely new date change. You know, it was never ideal. We've always been on MotoGP weekend. It's not that we didn't want to be on MotoGP weekend. And fortunately, the GP moved their date again and still falls on the Indiana State Fair. And this time it falls in the first week. And there was just a scheduling conflict to where we couldn't do it and couldn't have the track. So we were kind of just faced with, what do we do? Do we try to do it without the GP, something we've never done before? Do we cancel it all together? And we definitely wanted to give it a shot. So the fair had this date of July 11th open. So we took it, and it'll be a little different because we'll have the fairgrounds to ourselves. When we were with the GP back in 08 to 10, we weren't on the fair either, so it'll be kind of similar to that, to where the fair is not going on. It'll be a little easier to get in and out for all the fans. We'll have infield tickets on sale again. We'll have the motorcycle parking back behind the grandstands for all the motorcycles to line up on Main Street. So I think it'll be a little easier in that aspect. Now, the one thing we don't have is the GP crowd coming in. So we're really trying to buckle down on all the local dealerships. I always personally go to about 50 of them every year and drive around, talk to the managers, give them their posters and flyers, and we're really just hoping to get a large local crowd to make up for what we're going to lose from the GP people coming in.
That sounds like a good plan to have, Leah. Looking at this, you guys have done the Indy Mile for quite a while now. You stepped up and picked up DeCoin. Are there any other venues that you guys would like to get involved with, or can you talk about anything like that, or are you going to try just to stick to just two locations right now?
Well, you know, it's never out of the realm. Everything's a little different right now. We got bought out back in October by Bonnier Corporation, who owns, obviously, you know, Cycle World and the Bonnier Motorcycle Group over there. But it's definitely not out of the realm, I don't think. Could happen, could not. I don't know. It's definitely something I would love to take on some more if we could. So it's definitely something to talk about. It's just we're all under some new management and things are, you know, a little different. We're in the middle of transitioning, you know, all that and learning all their procedures. And so it's just kind of a lot right now. This kind of all happened right when we started getting to our busy season of 2015. So, but it's not all around, I wouldn't think.
Well, for the fans listening right now that don't have their tickets and they'd like to get the tickets to attend the Indy Mile this weekend, what is the best way for them to do so? Show up at the track? Is there... There's still pre-orders available.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Tickets, since we are off the fair, we have advanced tickets again. So you can get them $3 cheaper if you buy them in advance. You can just go to our website, indymile.com, and get them there. Tickets are 21 for infield, 28 or 33 for the grandstands. We do have a $5 kids ticket. That's new this year, so we're hoping maybe some more families can come out. Then all the tickets go up $3 day of the event, but the kids ticket does stay the same at $5 the day of the event also. So
that's
best
awesome.
To get them in advance if you want to save a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you can save always adds up, so you can save some if you order your tickets before you get there. Leah, you are super busy on the day of the event. I know I only got to spend about 3 minutes with you early on, and then you came back around when you had some more information for me, but what is your typical race day? What is your main job on race day?
Oh, kind of a master of everything. Making sure media has everything. Making sure you guys have your PA reads, making sure media has all their stuff, making sure, you know, the box office has what, you know, their need. There's always like those last second tickets that come up. There's that last second media that calls and is out at the gate and needs to get in. There's a lot of running around. And then once the, you know, the schedule starts later in the day, I'm usually out at the podium watching the racing, and then we get all the trophies and all of our stuff ready for the finals and just kind of running around, making sure everybody's got everything they need.
So you don't really do any, you have a lot of downtime, it sounds like.
No, never.
Well, no, it was a great event. I had a blast. The track was, as a rider and whatever else you want to call me, I can't claim to be a journalist, I guess, talk show host, I guess, a bigger, I guess. But, you know, as a rider, for sure, I had a great time. The track was, it was unique, and it was a lot different than the other miles we race on. So as a rider, I hope to see it back on the schedule next year, and hopefully the fans that saw it on Fans Choice or, you know, live in the area, they can make it out to the event next year and catch it live, because it's definitely something to see, for sure. You know, it's seeing it in person is a lot different than seeing it on TV. So, but yeah, it was a great event, Leah. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, and everyone's looking forward to the Indy Mile this weekend.
Well, thanks for having me, and hopefully we get some fans out. If they need to order tickets, just head to our website, indymile.com.
That was Leah Burdett, Family Events, and we'll see her this weekend at the Indy Mile. We appreciate her spending time on Tuesday night right before her next event. So, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hopefully have Tristan Avery on the line. We'll be right back.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National Champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe, for the racer's heart and soul.
As we wait for Tristan Avery to call in, we're a little bit early on the schedule, so he's fine. We're early. He's not late. But as we wait for Tristan to call in, I just want to give a little bit of background story on him. I started watching him. His older brother Hayden, was racing in the 85cc class locally. They're from Virginia. They travel up to PA and race around here in the District 6, Pennsylvania, clay short tracks we have up here. And Hayden was just cutting his teeth in the 85cc class, and then Tristan was his little brother, and I guess we were in Daytona, and it was his first ever race down there. I think he was 4 years old, He had a ginormous chest protector on, a helmet. It looked like the helmet was a little too big for him. Maybe he just had a small head. And he went out there. I think it was on a PW. And he's actually going so slow, they couldn't let him race. They said he was going too slow. It was dangerous to the other riders. And just to see the progression over the years, you know, now he's winning professional twins races. It's just crazy to think about. So, no, it's been really neat seeing him grow up, and it makes me feel old, you know, just seeing these guys. And you know, I was not too long ago, I felt like I was the rookie, and I still feel like I am. But in reality, I've been at this for 7-8 years now. You know, and we have kids that were racing 50s when I was on a 450 that are now in the pro class. So it's definitely something cool to see these kids grow up and progress through the ranks.
Well, man, I guess you are old. I don't know how old you are, but you must be showing your age. But, man, he has come a long ways in a short period. And for those of you folks that don't know, he had a wild get-off at the Amateur Nationals last year, about 1 year ago from last weekend at Lima. So about a year and a week ago before and almost and then coming back and winning his first team race. But the point of all places to win. I mean, I had him picked to do good at Hagerstown. Unfortunately, that got rained out, and he's looked good out of Sacramento, too. And so he put it all together there on Saturday night. I believe he's joined us. Corey, is our next guest with us?
Yeah, we have him live right now. Tristan Avery, thanks for stopping in, man. We appreciate it. How are you?
No problem, Corey. Still healing a little bit from the foot. After the race, kind of swelled up like a balloon, which wasn't surprising, but it was pretty good. And now just resting the foot, and feels good to be on here and wondering how Indy's going to go, and listen to y'all talk about the race at Indy this coming weekend. And it sounds pretty cool. I think that there's probably going to be maybe a little bit more less people since it's not scheduled as the same for the MotoGP. But I think we're still going to have people. I mean, it's a big pro race, so I'm going to take my wild guess on it and plan on to have a lot of people there. And hopefully we're in the same boat as we were at this past weekend at DeKalb.
Yeah, for sure, buddy. It's looking forward to Indy. Let's talk about DeKalb a little bit. It was a big weekend for you. You mentioned – well, actually, let's talk before DeKalb. Let's talk Lima. Lima, you had an incident where you got your foot into the fence. I wasn't even sure what happened, man. I saw you pull off, and it looked like you were in a lot of pain, and I saw the ambulance pick you up. So let's talk about Lima. That was 2 weeks ago, and you had an injury. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, in the heat race I think it was about the fourth lap. I came out of turn four, and it had a lot of dust. The track was not very wet like I wanted it to be. I thought a normal cushion half mile should have a lot of moisture in it, and that's what makes it a cushion half mile. And didn't end up being that way, and there's a fair amount of dust. And I don't know what's up with me and not being able to see on cushion half miles, but I wasn't able to see and ended up getting too wide. And by the time I saw the fence, it was too late. And I'm very lucky that I was able to swerve after clipping the fence and being able to save and keep me from falling off the motorcycle. And I'm very lucky to be able to come back to race, and not only that, but only be able to break three bones in my foot.
Well, speaking of save, I don't know if you've gone back and watched, you know, fanschoice.tv and watched the main event from DeKalb or not, but possibly people are talking that you had the save of the year going into turn one. Looked like you got sucked into the draft. I think you're right behind Davis Fisher, and you almost were on the ground. Next thing you know, you saved it, and then you come back and win the race. So, first off, have you seen the video of your race? And tell us what was going through your mind when you saved it going into turn number one.
Yeah, I've watched it a fair amount of times on Fans Choice, and it's breathtaking watching yourself and being able to watch that, and just it's incredible. I mean, I don't even know how I saved it, and I was just right there behind Davis, and I think I was going around the outside, and I tried to draft him, and I just got completely sucked into him and did my best and to stay on the motorcycle and to be able to stand the bike up and to be able to keep from crashing. And not only that, but taking out Davis too, because I was very close to him, and being able to come back from that and being able to win the race was pretty amazing. And it's I think my mom was definitely watching over me on that one. I think my mom reached down and picked me up and kept me from falling.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that a little bit. You know, on the podium, you had a really emotional speech and dedication of the race to your mom, who, you know, let's talk about the significance of the date and talk a little bit about your mom and why you dedicated that race to her.
I really wanted to dedicate it to her because, I mean, I think my accident last year that broke my back, and not only that, but a massive concussion that put me out of memory for 3 weeks. And I think she was definitely watching over me during that and prevented a lot of other stuff from happening. So the next day, well, July 5th is her birthday, and I wanted to dedicate it to her. And I had a feeling that on the way out there for DuQuoin that Friday morning, I looked at my brother and said, "Hey, if I win, then I'm dedicating it to Mom." And he was definitely smiling after that. And that day, I had a feeling that it was going to be good, and I knew that she was definitely watching over me, and she always is, and she loves her two boys to death and would do anything for them, and I can't thank her enough.
That was awesome that you did that, you know, and you had a super fast twin, and I actually have to apologize to you because I did make a mistake after your podium, and I said your bike was painted by Smokey, and it looks really good, but I was corrected by Mike Hacker. So tell us a little bit about the Twins program, how did it come together, and then correct me on who painted that motorcycle for you.
Actually, Precision Bodyworks, or PVW Racing, actually painted it and got the cool design for us, and we decided to tape it up because in practice, I noticed that there was a little bit of gravel in the surface of the track, and at that speed on the twin, you're gonna have dirt and a little bit of rock hitting the bike, and not only that, but you. And we decided to tape up the tank a little bit in the front and keep the paint job fresh. And the twin, we decided to start building that over the winter last year, and we finally got it together a couple days before Springfield this year, and decided to, we ended up just getting it done maybe a week before DuQuoin, and we decided to get the paint done by Precision Bodyworks, and I think they did a sweet job, and looking forward to Indy on the twin too.
Well, you're planning on racing Indy this coming weekend. That's a big one. What are your plans after Indy? You know, I know we go out to Rapid City, South Dakota, and then we have a little bit of a break before we go to Peoria. Are you planning on doing the rest of the series? And, you know, what's your plan for the rest of the season?
Yeah, we plan on doing the whole circuit. I think it's definitely important that we do because it's I think the first year, I think this year is the first year of me being pro, and I think it's a very good learning year to be able to learn the tracks. And then next year, if you're at the same tracks, then I think it's an advantage because you know what the track's going to be like in a sort of sense, and you're able to predict that, and you're able to learn off of what you did the year before at the same track. And I definitely plan on doing the whole circuit, like I said, and I'm looking forward to it. And
yeah, no, it should be good, man. I agree with you. I think seeing the racetrack, you know, each year you see the track, you improve on it. I mentioned to Scotty earlier today, you know, the guys in my class who were at the track previously, you know, back in 04, 05, like Jared and Cool Beth and Brian Smith, they seem to have an advantage. So I definitely agree with you. I think it's good for you to see you can do the whole schedule. I kind of wanted to go back to your twin a little bit. You know, you've been racing a 450 for a couple years now, and you haven't really had much time racing a twin, but you looked really comfortable on the bike at the coin. You know, did you expect to do so well on that twin? I know you made the final at Springfield, but were you that confident heading into the coin that you actually thought you could win the race?
Yeah, I'm not trying to sound self-absorbed or anything like that, but I felt really confident about the coin and Springfield on the twin and everything leading up to the twin. I felt very confident about the bike and being able to win the coin on it for the basically the second time racing it. I felt really good about it, and I felt like I had a lot of confidence with the motorcycle because we built it for me, and I think we did a lot of work to it. And it's not only that, but I've done a lot of work with myself, and I feel like we got a lot more left, and we are able to do good at a coin at Indy this weekend.
Well, Tristan, you've moved up to 11th in the point standings. You've already got your first win. You got a second place out of Sacramento, and you're looking really strong. Realistically, coming into the season, what were your goals?
Can you repeat that again, Scotty?
I was just saying, you know, you've got a second and a first, and when you came into this season, did you have goals of, you know, top fives or top tens, and what's your goal for the end of the season?
At the beginning of the season, I was, like, before Daytona and everything, a couple of weeks leading up to it, I was just mainly focused on that one particular race.
Right. And, yeah, well, you kind of struggled in Daytona, but then you came back, you bounced back, and you pulled off a second place at Sacramento on the 450. Then you had the accident at Lima, and then I wasn't sure you were even going to race at the coin. And then you come out and you win on the twin. So it's been a roller coaster season for you, but you know, I know the second place at Sacramento gave you a lot of confidence, and now even more so with the win at Springfield. So you got to be optimistic about the rest of the year and trying to pull off some more wins, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, for sure. We got a lot more confidence built up now, and we're able to build momentum off of it and go on to Indy, and hopefully we're able to get a good qualifying position for the heat race and get a good transfer out of that and into the main event. And I'm not going to try to predict the main event, but we'll see how it goes, and hopefully we're able to come out with a win, and if not, hopefully a top 10 finish or a top 5, hopefully.
Well, Tristan, hopefully you can carry the momentum from the first place at DuCoin on into Indy. But we appreciate you coming on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Before we let you go, do you want to thank any of your sponsors?
Thank you all for having me, too. I really appreciate it. Corey actually asked me this morning, and I can't thank him enough for asking me again. I'd like to thank Ride Academy, Ron Ayers Motorsports, Mr. Sign, Saddleman Seats and Covers, Bugner Racing Suspension, Rhino Power, Impact Safety Armor, Sikra, Works Connection, Bellray Oils, Chicken Hawk Racing, RLJ, Motion Pro, Newman Motorsports, KWS, FPS Racing, O'Neill MX, EVS, Vortex, Scott Power Sports, Showy Helmets, Denizi, Super Trap, Twin Air. And I can't thank my brother and my dad and Mike Hacker and the rest of my family enough for being behind me 110%.
Sounds good, Tristan. Again, thanks for coming on. Congratulations on your first win. Hopefully there's many more in store.
Yeah, no problem. And I'd like to thank Scott Power Sports again.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It was a treat. And like I said earlier, before you came on, it's been really cool seeing you progress through the ranks. I remember watching you on the mini bikes coming up through, so it was cool to see you grab that first win. And good luck this weekend in Indy. We'll be rooting for you.
No problem, Corey. Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Tristan Avery. I know him as 4C. That was his amateur number growing up, and now he's rocking the 16S. So GNC2 winner from DeCoin, really cool having him on. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we will have some closing thoughts.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National Champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe for the racer's heart and soul. Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees. Far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
We're back. As always, make sure you check us out on social media. We've really been pushing that. Facebook, at Flat Track Weekly Radio. Give us a follow and hit us up on Instagram, too, at Flat Track Weekly Radio. Some pretty cool photos Scotty digs up and posts on there. So make sure you hit us up and keep in touch. You know, we'd like to hear from our fans, too. Scotty has a Twitter, at Scotty Dubler. I do also. It's at Corey Texter. I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers. Want to, you know, we're sending our prayers to him and his family as they had a loss this week. His father-in-law passed away. Our prayers are with Tommy. He does a lot for the sport. I know we say it all the time, but really we can't say it enough. He does a lot of great stuff and big supporter of our show. Evans Coolant, John Light, the whole crew there, great products. Check them out, evanscooling.com. Light Shoe, Gary Kinsler, he's over at the Amateur Nationals this week. Want to touch upon that in a second here, but he's over at the Amateur Nationals doing his deal and creating the best steel shoes in the business for everyone out there, and also to Design Star 3. I want to thank them for all they do for us as well. But Amateur National Week, Scotty, we didn't really talk about it much, but they raced the mile yesterday, and today they were supposed to race the half mile, and it got rained out. And luckily for them, the short track is indoors. So instead of, you know, wasting a day, they took the racing indoors, and they had the short track indoors. Haven't heard any results from the indoor short track. You know, I think they're still going on. But yesterday's mile, I saw my buddy Kevin Stallings. He won two races and finished the second. And then I saw Kyle McGrain. He won the open, I think it's open singles, open twins. He was on his twin, and he won that event. Brandon Price had a couple good finishes. Parker Norris, Morgan Monroe, I saw, had a couple good finishes. man, I'm on top of it. I saw a lot of amateur stuff yesterday from Mia Moore on Facebook, so it was really cool of her to keep us updated. And man, I'm looking forward to seeing results. I follow the amateur nationals every year. It's one of the, you know, that whole week is one of the best weeks of my year and some of the best weeks of my childhood. It was a lot of fun racing at the amateur nationals all week, and you know, hopefully everyone has a good fun week and safe racing.
Yeah, that's very cool that Mia's posting all the results for us. And I actually never went to the Amateur Nationals as a racer. I went for the last three seasons, I guess. The last 3 years I went there and announced it, but didn't go that direction this year. I'm saving my voice for the Nationals, I guess. I don't know. So I guess that's how it worked out. But also congratulations to Dallas Daniels. He actually won three classes yesterday, and he just moved up to the bigger bikes. He's been riding the 85s for a while, and he won three different classes. I guess he moved up to the 250. So congratulations to him, as well as all the other riders that have been doing well. And hopefully we'll see some results from the short track here pretty soon. It is a cool facility. That short track's really neat. That's one racetrack that I would like to race before I don't have a career. I haven't raced in like 3 or 4 years. So I guess that's one track I'd like to ride on. How about that?
Bro, you don't race anymore.
What am I talking about? Yeah, what am I talking about? I'm just a talker.
Oh man, no, it is a fun track. If you're gonna race an indoor, that's one of the better indoor. I mean, man, I say that like indoor tracks suck. I just prefer the bigger ones, but the Coin Short Track is definitely a fun little indoor track. And yeah, I forgot about Dallas Daniels. I did see he won a couple classes, and that's pretty cool, man. Like you said, he just moved up to the 250 ranks, and to pull off three wins, that's big time. I'm looking forward to my buddy Tyler Scott too. He's been one of the most dominant youth riders, I guess, of all time. He's won, 16 championships or something like that, something crazy. And I saw he's racing two of the 85 classes and one 65 class. I think he's only 8 or 9 years old. He might be 9 at this point, but just literally the fastest kid I've ever seen. So I'm looking forward to him and seeing how he does this week too. And Logan McGrain's another local rider who I'm looking forward to seeing how he does. He's a pretty fast kid here. You know, he's a really, really fast family. I'm looking forward to see how he does also. But rooting for all my East Coast buddies, and hopefully they do well. Brandon Price, he's going for the Horizon Award, and I like to see him do well. And Kevin Stallings is another rider I help out with some resume stuff. And, man, a lot of those kids I help out. I did resumes for Dallas Daniels. I did a resume for Kevin Stallings, Brandon Price, Tyler Scott. Wow, it's quite – Kyle McGrain. Logan McGrain. So there's quite a few kids actually that I've helped out.
Well, what are you gonna do when they move up to pro and start beating you? Are you gonna have to retire, or what do you think?
Oh, I'll still do the resumes for him. Yeah, I don't have any problem. No, I did Brad Baker's for him. I do did Bronson Bauman, Jake Johnson, Briar Bauman. I've done quite a few.
Man.
Shayna. Well, actually, you know what? I didn't do Shayna's this year.
You're gonna have to do mine or something maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I did like 60 resumes this off season. It actually turned into pretty busy hobby, quote unquote. But no, it was. I like doing it. It's you know, it's cool to create stuff for some of these riders. You know, you see these resumes that are typed up on Microsoft Word or even worse, and just not very professional looking. So I like to design something that stands out and flashy and sponsors can really look at it and be like, wow, you know, this person really did their homework and they spent the extra time to get this stuff done. And I've had really, really good results with them so far. So,
the one I made on the typewriter isn't good enough anymore?
Well, when you were racing, shit, that was 40 years ago. So probably, I mean, that was like technology back then. I'm sure the typewriter was... You know,
well,
that was
we had white. We had white out back then. So you just had to white it out and then back up and go over it again.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's better than. I mean, I'm sure the early resumes were probably handwritten. And for you to have the typewriter, you're probably the coolest kid on the block. So that's cool, man. I don't know what you know. I'm Scotty. I'm really tall. I'm kind of fast, and I have a big star on my helmet. Was that your resume or?
That's it. You know, I kind of. You know, the only thing I had going for me is I was a third-generation racer. You know, my grandpa was really fast. My dad was really fast. My uncle was fast. I had two aunts that raced. I said, so it's in the family. You know, I just threw that family picture in there. I put it up on my Twitter before, all five of us. And actually, there's six of us. My cousin raced, too, so there's a bunch of us racing. But, you know, I don't know how – I don't know what else I had in my resume. I never did win anything big. I just had a lot of fun. And, you know, I wouldn't give up those days for nothing. I traveled around the country with my dad and, you know, Graham and Pa went to a lot of my races, and you know, I just wouldn't give that up for anything, and look where it's taken me. I'm still enjoying the Grand Nationals, and now I get paid to go there a little bit, and get to watch the best racing. I'm in the air-conditioned booth sitting next to the 7-time champion. I mean, man, life's good.
Well, the front of my resume just says, you know, it just says Shayna's brother, and that's all,
yeah.
That's all I put on there. You know, I'm Shayna's brother.
That's all you need.
Sponsor
that's
me.
All you need.
You're right. Yeah. No. Going to the races with my family, my father and my grandpa. I took it for granted when I was younger, but man, those memories. They're the best memories I've had racing. And racing's still fun now, but it's never been quite the same, you know, as it was when you're an amateur. And it seemed like it was more stressful, maybe then even. I don't know why. I mean, when you're an amateur, this week, the Horizon Award week, it's a stressful week for some of these kids. That was one of the most stressful race weeks I've ever had, even as a pro rider. So, you know, the Amateur Nationals is no joke. And like I said, looking forward to seeing those results this week, Scotty. But great show. Had a lot of fun. And looking forward to next week. Maybe we'll get the Horizon Award on the show next week.
Maybe we'll have a new winner at the Indy Mile. We could have them on the show.
Him or her. That would be Nicole's
exactly.
Been going really good lately. So hopefully Shayna can pull out of her slump. I think she will once she gets these new bikes dialed in. And Nicole's been really going good too. So, you know, have him or her on the show. Hopefully new winners are always good. But it's going to be tough to, you know, always tough to dethrone that 42 on the miles. It seems like they really have their program together. And I just had I talked to Brian Smith earlier today, and I have a really cool interview coming out with him eventually that I'm excited to talk about, kind of the whole deal, how he got involved with Crosley, and I'm really excited about it. So look forward to that interview. It's really special. But that's all I got for the week, Scotty. What do you got?
I'm not done yet. So Cool Bet put it on him last year. So we'll have to see if the, you know, if he's got anything left in the tank for him that, you know, at Indy Mile. So it's going to be a good finish for sure. But I wanted to. I don't know if you asked these two questions, but did he not take the siding lap because he's worried about fuel, or he didn't want the wear on the tires, or did you even ask him that question?
I did not ask him that because I didn't even know.
Yeah,
I know he didn't take the siding lap at
the
Mega Mile before, so.
Right. I would say fuel, right?
Maybe fuel, or maybe just to mess with the other guys' heads, too. I mean, you know, I don't think going slow would have hurt them on fuel. I mean, especially if they have a red flag, you know, they revert back some laps anyway. So you would hope they'd have some spare fuel anyway. But I'm
right.
Not sure, Scotty. I didn't ask him.
I want to know how he met Kid Rock, because I'm jealous right there, because I know he lives up in Michigan. Kid Rock's from Michigan, so I just want to know how that deal came together too. So you need to do some more homework and let me know what you come up with.
Well, the coolest part of the interview is him talking about how he got hooked up with the Crosley guys. It's actually really, really interesting and something you wouldn't have pictured. You know, it was kind of a deal he literally just fell into. And so it's a really neat story. I'm looking forward to finishing it up and getting it out there. So look forward to that. And Indy Mile this weekend, everybody. Get excited. It's one of the biggest races of the year. So that's all I got, Scotty. I want to thank everybody for listening in, and we'll catch you all next Tuesday.